I don't even know where to begin. So I'll just begin with this is the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is something. It's really something out there. It is Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. The 18th day of 2022. And I don't even know where to begin. Yesterday I took the day off because it was Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. If you believe that, not that it wasn't his birthday, but it was, well, actually, I don't think it actually was his birthday, probably. It's just it's the day they celebrate for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. However, it was I took the day off. I didn't take the day off, actually. I spent all day yesterday traveling. Got out of the house about 6 o'clock in the it was late. I was late getting out of the house. Let's just put it that way. I meant to leave around 6, 6:30. I left later than that. So on my way to the airport, I didn't quite make it to the breakfast place I had intended. I ended up having to slide through at McDonald's, and it literally was in more ways than one a slide through. We got hit by a little snow yesterday in the areas I was traveling, and there wasn't a whole lot of snow removal equipment in the area I was going through, and there was actually more snow south of my home in Indiana. Northern Indiana than there was north, but I ended up last night. I got into Lexington, Kentucky. That's where I'm at finally. That's where I landed at the end of the day. And let me just say, there's more snow here even than there was up there. In fact, they don't have the snow removal equipment here that most people do. The streets, sidewalks, that kind of thing, just not very well taken care of. In my part of the country, if you have snow and you don't clean it up, the city comes by and fines you within 24 hours if you don't clean up the snow. In this part of the area, apparently that's not the case, because the snow has been here for like 2 days, I think, according to what I heard, and the snow is still on the sidewalks. Rather messy and mushy walking around here in Lexington today. Another note, which I don't know what you've actually tuned in for, is the it's what's in my cup. By the way, welcome to the news according to me. If you've been a long time listener, I want to say thank you for those of you who were listening last year, and those of you who have just started listening recently. I appreciate, I kind of watch the statistics a little bit. I have started doing live broadcasts on Rumble. I wasn't even going to try that this morning. I was kind of half-heartedly thinking about it. But when I realized the kind of internet service I have here at this particular hotel, I'm at the Hyatt Regency right now in Lexington. I'll be leaving here in about an hour. About the time I try to get this thing posted. So I'm not sure exactly when this show will actually get on the online, on the internet. It's right now, it's 10:44 Eastern Standard Time. My guess is I'll get done with this show around a little bit after 11. And by the time I try to upload this thing, I can't even get on there. I can't even actually, right now, I can't even connect to the internet. I'm connected to their router. But I've tried and tried and tried to get through to the internet connection here, and it's not happening. So this may have to wait until I get possibly to, I think I end up in Saginaw, Michigan tonight, of all places. I didn't know there were even flights to Saginaw, Michigan. And I guess that's where I'm going, by airplane. I'm taking a flight there. I'm going from Lexington to Chicago O'Hare. And then I'm not sure what I do after that, but I end up in Saginaw, Michigan. Saginaw, Michigan. Airplanes land there, apparently. Now, apparently they have an airport, I guess. They must have. unless I'm landing in Detroit and then driving over to Saginaw. I'm not sure exactly how that's supposed to work. But I digress. There's been a lot of rhetoric lately. I want to kind of challenge some of the what I would say is what they're calling conventional. I'm not going to call it wisdom. That would be offensive to wisdom. Conventional thinking. Right now, I'm hearing some like smuttering, muttering stuff. Apparently, Ted Cruz kind of started off this idea that they can impeach Joe Biden. There's several things they could impeach him over. There's also this rhetoric as well about the Republicans having a landslide victory in 2022. That's this year's election. Now, I want to address these points with my opinions, because that's what I do. I address stuff with my opinions. That's about all I can do. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a life coach or a financial counselor. I'm not even a high school counselor. I'm not even a kindergarten school teacher. I'm a guy with a microphone. And right now I don't even have a mic. Well, the only microphone I've got right now I'm using is on the computer here. I don't even have my regular microphone hooked up here this morning. That would just take too much time. Now, if somebody wants to pay me to do this, I'll start taking it a little bit more seriously. But right now it's not. So there you go. That's the way I roll. That's what you paid for. That's what you came here to hear. Here to hear. There's two different ways to say here. Here or here. Can you hear me right here, right now, right here? The English language is great. So we have this issue. And I keep hearing this. First of all, another point I want to address right away, and I know I've addressed this before, but I just think it's absolutely the most ridiculous thing to even consider or think about or talk about. And I don't want to talk about it, but yet I have to talk about it because I have to talk about how ridiculous it is to talk about. That's this idea that somehow Joe Biden is going to run again in 2024. The news media is already talking about this. They're already talking about it seriously. Do you really think he's going to make it another 3 years? Do you understand how long 3 years is in a cognitive declining state? Joe has deteriorated so much in the last 5 years. And this type of cognitive decline, it doesn't, you don't decline and then you come back from it. Now you have good days and bad days, but you don't. Now he had an extremely bad, at least according to the media, but what they're telling me is he had a really bad week last week. I don't know that he had any worse of a week than he has ever had or ever had. I don't know. Joe's having a bad life. As far as I'm concerned, he's not doing well. This thing called life. He has kind of drifted his way through. And just by making incoherent campaign promises and telling stupid stories that aren't true about himself. I don't think the whole corn pop is a bad dude story. I don't think that happened. Considering everything else he did, I think he might have been a lifeguard at a pool someplace. That may have happened. But to hear him talk about all these stories, and maybe there's just no way to verify it, so everybody just assumes it's true. Because, you know, everything else he says is true, so why not just believe anything we can't verify? This guy's, he's been a phony all of his life. He's just very, very good at it. people elected him, even people on the right who voted for this guy, the people in the establishment voted for this guy thinking he was going to be a moderate. At least we'll get rid of Trump and we'll have this moderate in there for 4 years. And then we'll try to swing around and do our best at the next swing back towards the Republicans. We'll come up with a better candidate. How's that working out for us here, folks? When you go after somebody, see, I'm a policy guy. I look at policy. I don't care if you consider the guy a guy to be rough around the edges or kind of, you know, morally not in line with your way of thinking, whatever it is. I'm more about policy and the reality and the outcome and how it affects our country, but how it affects individuals within our country, because that's what our country is made up of, by the way. That's the way the founders recognized it. We are a nation of individuals that have sovereign rights, endowed rights, enumerated rights, God-given, granted, natural rights, whatever you want to call them, according to the Constitution, it says we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. In other words, they can't be taken away from us without due process. That doesn't mean you can just group take rights away. Well, this group, we're going to take all these, anybody who does this, we're going to take all the rights away. Or it's just a blanket coverage of all the rights we're going to take away from you. That's what has happened in this country. That's where the FBI operates 90% of the time. A lot of law enforcement agencies operate under this blanket clause to take away your rights. Well, if you're a drug dealer, then we get to do this. If we suspect you of being a drug dealer, we get to do this, even if we have no proof. It's just a blanket policy. Take all your money. We get to seize all your assets. If we think that you might have been doing drugs, or just if you just look suspicious to us. No trial, just take it away. Yeah. So what is in my cup then this morning, by the way? Since we went there 20 minutes ago, in my cup I have a cup full of vanilla chai. And I have no creamer this morning, so it's just chai. And it's not creamy, as creamy as I like. It's creamy, because it's creamy chai, but it's chai latte, creamy chai latte. But it just has to have that extra little something in it. And there's nothing here in this hotel room. They didn't provide me with any creamers in this hotel room, which is kind of unusual. Let me see if there's anything in this. There's nothing in there. No, they didn't put anything in there. No. I had to heat up my water in a Keurig machine, which is always great. And I always hate heating up water in a coffee machine that's been used for coffee, because then the coffee flavor comes through. And of course, I don't like coffee. I like the smell of coffee. I don't like to drink it. It leaves this kind of a bitter taste in my mouth. It's just like a dull kind of flat cardboardy taste in my mouth. I can't stand it. And so I get that taste, unfortunately, now without creamer, even on top of this. You know, I'm drinking this chai, and it kind of has a little bit of a tinge of that coffee aftertaste. But I'm drinking it anyway, so it must not be too bad. But I can tell it shouldn't be. I think I'm just drinking it because it's hot. That's, you know, helps to wash down my breakfast. By the way, if you're in Lexington, a highly underrated, in fact, I think it's got like 4.5 stars. It's a popular place online. I mean, it's popular, but I was the only person in there this morning. A place called Main Street Deli. It's open, I think, from early morning, like 7 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I've got to tell you, the food is good. Somebody did say something about the prices being high, but I didn't experience that. I had the egg and sausage, or the, I guess it was the cheese and sausage omelet. And usually I just like a meat lover's omelet kind of thing with cheese. But this was a cheese. And it came with tater tots, which were pretty good. I know they're tater tots, but they're good. Well done. They were not overly done. They were just perfectly done. And then there was toast. It also came with toast. And then I got a of course, I'd get a sweet tea. But that was a fountain sweet tea, so it wasn't really the sweet tea of the South that I was hoping for. It was okay. It was just gold peak tea, which is okay. It's not, you know, it's that mass-produced stuff. So yeah, that's I would highly recommend the place. And it's just it's right down close to the whatever this theater place is over here in the municipal area. So anyway, enough about that. I need to talk about the two main things. You know, we keep talking about the impeachment of Joe Biden. I think that's a trap. The Democrats know Joe's not going to make it 4 years. And I think I've said this before on the show, but I'll say it again. It's worth saying again. I'm not too hyper here about the Republicans getting rid of Joe, impeaching Joe. They want to make the Republicans out to be the mean guy, the bully. Well, they came in and because they know they can use that against. See, this has happened before. Republicans. This is why they're trigger shy. They went through and impeached, kind of the same way they did with Trump. The House impeached Bill Clinton, but he wasn't convicted in the Senate, even though he did far worse than Trump did, as far as what he was impeached for. And he really did do it. And he talked about dereliction of duty and all kinds of defaming the White House type stuff. But so what ended up happening after that, then Bill became very popular, of course. And he was the underdog. And the Republicans took a beating, supposedly, in the next election in the House. And they blamed it all on the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Now, I don't know. I don't think so. But I'm not positive on that. The independents didn't really care for Bill too much. I think if they would have actually gone through with it and actually impeached him, they would have been in better shape. But they didn't get it accomplished. I think that was where the disappointment was. And then, of course, then the Democrats ran quite a campaign. Then the next time they went after him, all kinds of things. So. And I lived through all that. So I think that the Republicans are a little bit gun-shy about impeaching someone. Now, here's the thing. If they do that, then that takes it out of the Democrats' hands. If they don't, and they just allow this guy to continue to flounder and flop and flip around, then they become the bad guy. They have to make it look very benevolent. Well, we have to do what's best for Joe. And he served so well. They're going to give him all these honors, let him go, and you know, ask him to resign, basically, is what they're gonna do. I think that's what the plan is. And they're gonna do that. And I think that they probably are going to keep the rhetoric going as long as they can, keep propping him up as long as they can. Now, you have to play this delicate balance out, because I think that the Democrats, even the establishment media, and the leftist media with the Democrats, I think they're starting to get a little bit nervous about the popularity of this president. They're claiming he has the lowest popular approval rating of any president ever in history, as long as they've been taking popular votes on this stuff, polls on this stuff. I would not be at all surprised. I think the problem that they've got right now is that Joe is not very popular. I think that's the problem, because he's never been popular. Now, however, supposedly he got, what was it, seven million more votes than Trump, who got the most Republican votes of any Republican president ever. And yet, Joe Biden gets millions more votes than him, and way millions more than Barack Obama ever got. But need I remind you, the state of Indiana went blue in 2008, when Barack Obama ran. The state of Indiana went blue. Didn't do it in 2012, but it did in 2008. And yet Joe Biden got more votes. Not from the black vote, because Trump increased votes. In fact, he got more votes from the black community than any other Republican president ever in history. Trump increased votes among women. Again, he increased votes among Mexican, Latino, Hispanic, whatever their proper term is now, I don't know. Just minorities in general. That only leaves one demographic. The racist white man, apparently, European, is the one that voted for Joe. Because, you know, if you're a white man, you're racist. So it's just the way it is. Racist massages. That's what I've been told. That's what I'm being told by leftists right now. So they must be right. They're never wrong. At least they never admit to it. So I guess it's the same thing, I guess. So we have this issue now. It's a delicate balance. Now, the other thing that's going on at the same time here is the Republicans are salivating over taking back the House. They think that they're going to get like 20 or 30 seats in 2022. It's going to put them in a majority. And they believe they're also going to win the Senate as well. They win back the Senate. So they're going to have a control of two-thirds of the government. Now, this is a tricky balance here, because here's what's going to happen. At the same time, you got the issue with Joe, and depending on who they put in. Now, if there's a landslide Republican victory in November of this year, they have between November and January to do a bunch of rearranging at that point. They can set up something to put in, say that they're going to wait and see what happens with the Republicans. If the Republicans start chomping at the bit saying they're going to impeach Joe Biden, they're just going to let that happen. They're going to sit back and quietly play the victim. If the other thing happens and they just say, well, we're just going to let Joe ride it out, see how Joe does. Since we've taken control of all this stuff, what Joe does, I guess, apparently this is the microphone that's being used right now. I don't know why this computer does this. So I'm sorry for the any background noise you might have got picked up. But apparently this is the microphone that's being used. It's the microphone that's on my headphone set. I did not know that. I just learned something new today with you. Together we have learned together what's going on here. So I want to just make you aware, and hopefully this word will get through to some legislators, some bureaucrats that understand what's going on here, because this is what's happening. We've got this delicate. The Democrats are playing the game. They're good at the game. That's all they do, is they play the game. Republicans tend to think that they're there to represent us, and Democrats realize they're there to just maintain power. And they'll do anything to play the game to maintain power. They don't care about what's right or wrong. And I heard Nancy the other day again with a sentence where she came through with, she put the word Constitution and election integrity together in the same sentence, which is, they take focus groups and they find out what words are playing well. She knew she had to throw the Constitution in there. We have to protect the Constitution. And we have to win election integrity. In other words, the centralized government has to take over state elections. They have to institute these rules because it's top-down leadership from them. That's the way it's always been. It's not for them by the people. You see, in their opinion, the government is not we the people. It is them up there on the Capitol Hill. We elect them to be our representatives, and somehow they think that by being our representatives, that means that they are the government. They don't just represent the government. They are the government. That's the way they see it. And I'm afraid, unfortunately, I think a lot of people have fallen into this trap of thinking they are the government. and we the people are the government. That we don't understand even how to implement that because it's been so long that we just abdicated our responsibility off to the people that we elect to be our representatives. They are supposed to be there to represent us as individuals, not representing special groups, not representing lobbyists. And yet that is what happens every day. It used to be that lobbyists were kind of looked down at as kind of the sleazy part of Washington. And now it's, if you don't have a lobbyist, you're nobody. And yet here we are. So we have this this interesting scenario playing out before us. And I'm afraid that the Republicans don't realize if they take over the House and the Senate, this is going to make the Democrats, well, first of all, what's going to happen? They're going to try to get fiscal policy back in order. They're going to try to implement, it'll be Democrat light, don't get me wrong. They'll still be spending way too much money and doing all kinds of stupid things because that's just what they do. But they won't look as bad because they're not spending as much. Well, you want $12 trillion? Oh, my goodness. Well, we got it cut down to $3 trillion. Oh, it seems so much easier. Oh, just think we're going to be $12 trillion. Well, at least it's only $3 trillion. That seems much more reasonable. We just keep printing out money. We printed out more money in the last 24 months than has ever been printed in the history of our country. But just if that makes you feel better. Then we have the whole COVID thing. I haven't even talked about that yet. And the show's almost over and I haven't even talked about it. We have a delicate situation because now the Republicans will be in charge and the Democrats can point fingers at them and say that any kind of a mess, any kind of problems now, they can lay them firmly on the Republicans' laps. And the Republicans hate that. Because they want to be, Liz Cheney is the epitome of the right-wing establishment. They want the attention from CNN and MSNBC. They want to be the good little Republican child that gets patted on the head by the big boys. And that's exactly what she does. She's probably looking for a commentator position when she gets booted out of office in 2020. So, and she probably will get one. Kinzinger probably will too. A contributorship too. And usually what they'll do is they just pay them and put them on a shelf. They hardly ever use them at all. They pull them out once in a while just to make a comment. If they can make a comment that will bolster their political agenda, they'll pull them out. They toe the line. That's the way all this stuff works. It's all theater, folks. This is all political theater. Now, what we got going on though is the Republicans, I don't think, realize the position that they're going to be in. Now, if they do bring back the economy and the economy comes back and things look better, what's that going to do for the presidency? How is the media going to play that out, the establishment media? They're going to play that out as if, well, it's the president. The president did all this. He's a wonderful president, whoever that president might be. And I don't think it's going to be Joe by the end of 2024. I think it's going to be someone else. I really do not see. I'm really shocked, actually, and amazed. My prediction was that by January 1st here, we were going to see a different person put in office. The more I have thought about this and the way this is going to play out, and as bad as things have gotten, I think that they have to reevaluate how they're going to handle Joe. I think that the playbook might be that they're going to prop him up as long as they can and then play that card probably possibly after the election. When they still have control, but they can either remove him from office and put in who they need to have put in there, depending on what the response is from the House and the Senate, or they're going to allow the House and the Senate to get rid of Joe and then make him out to be the bad guy and then put in whoever they want to put in after that. I don't think it's going to be Kamala. And I think that whatever happens, they're going to blame the Republicans anyway. So regardless of what happens, they blame the Republicans now. And even though they can't get what they need in the House and the Senate right now, the Build Back Better bill, it all fell through. The filibuster, they were going to try to get rid of the filibuster, that fell through. Sinema and Joe Manchin have been kind of instrumental in keeping holding the line here a little bit. We are dangling, and the line is a thread, folks. We are hanging by a thread here. If they were able to get through this legislation that they're pushing, this would radically alter. And they knew they had to get this legislation through, especially the voting legislation. They had to get that through in order to have even a chance in 2022, especially 2024. But they really needed that opportunity for 2022. And you know, fortunately, they have not been able to pull that off yet. My guess is that they will continue to try to maneuver some kind of bits and pieces of those bills into something else. Because it ain't over, folks. We got a long way to November. And I'm afraid that the Republicans are already starting to count their chickens. If they got chickens, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they got some eggs. There's some possibilities. I mean, it's a good possibility they may win. Now, one of the things that came out, and I've for a long time I've said that I don't really care for Dan Crenshaw. I appreciate the guy's service. I appreciate the fact the guy was a Navy SEAL. I think he has used that, having been a SEAL. I think he has used that and kind of exploited that. I don't really think he is. I think he's more of an establishment Republican. I think he's more of a big government guy. And part of the issue there in terms of his integrity is that he did go. You look at Nancy Pelosi and all the money she's made on the side with insider trading. Take a step back and ask yourself, who's made more than Nancy? Dan Crenshaw has. How amazing that his portfolio is doing so well. These people make like $125,000 or $175,000 a year, something like that, whatever it is, $150,000 a year, whatever it is, and they're millionaires. And it's not just them doing the trading. They're passing that information off to other people, family members, husbands, wives, whoever it is, helping them do their thing, or just showing them, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not giving you any inside information. I'm just telling you how I'm trading. That's all I got to do. Okay, I'll buy what you're buying. I'll sell what you're selling. And that's all they need to know. And their portfolios explode. And all they do is say, well, that's the free market. That's the free market. Sorry. You're making legislation. You're in charge of legislation that affects the price of a stock. And then you turn around and you take advantage of that. That is, if you can sleep at night that way, then that's fine. Because I guarantee you, there's going to be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of reckoning. You can think you're going to get away with all this stuff. You're not. God will have his way in the middle of this thing. And it's either going to be now or later. So make your choice at this point. God will not be mocked. Period. There you go. We have those are my issues right now. We also have there's some interesting things going on with COVID right now. Japan. Just read an article about what's going on in Japan. Now there have been some of the people who do numbers and look at statistics. They've been very confused about what's going on in Japan. Why are Japan's rates so low? Why is this, what's going on over there? Hospitalizations are really, really low. There's something really strange going on there. And it's not because they're wearing masks, and it's not because they have a vaccine mandate. In fact, they are now putting warning labels on vaccines. There is no mandate to be vaccinated. They're not allowing it. Nobody, no employers can put vaccine mandates in place. And they are basically saying that children should not be vaccinated. Now, there's a lot of doctors that have come out recently and said that children should not be getting vaccinated. Anybody under 18 should not be getting vaccinated. These are doctors. These are people. I'm just saying that's what they're saying. I'm not saying it's my opinion. I'm not saying that should. But you have to ask yourself, why is there such a crazy push for this in kids. And ironically, having the vaccine, now studies are showing that you are actually more likely to get Omicron if you have been vaxxed and boosted. And in fact, there's not even any real science behind the idea that Omicron at this point is showing to be any more effective in terms of symptoms. And yet they're saying, but so you got to make sure you're vaccinated. They'll come out and they'll actually make that statement. They'll say, well, it looks like right now, it looks like symptoms of Omicron are pretty much like a mild cold or a severe cold. And so you got to make sure you get your booster. Excuse me. It's not, and the numbers are not just, it doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. The numbers are saying it's that way for both people. Symptoms are both. This is pretty much the same for both with the Omicron variant. And yet, they're claiming that the vaccine makes your symptoms less, which there's no evidence of that. The numbers do not play that out for Omicron. Now, Delta, yes. Omicron, no. Now they're saying that by March, they will have a booster that will cover the Omicron variant. Now, just to give you some idea, one of the people, Dr. John Campbell, who's done vast more research with the numbers than any other doctor I know of, in terms of it's all he does. He eats, sleeps, and breathes the numbers. He looks at the analytical stuff all the time, constantly. All the nations, all the countries in the world that are reporting numbers, he's looking at all of them. Every which way he can. He's trying to look at all the matrix, all the variables involved. And one of the things he's saying right now is that it looks like that natural immunity has been far wider in terms of its ability to protect against any variants than any of the vaccines. He doesn't understand why, and he has an explanation for why the vaccine is very narrowed down to, and how he knows that it's narrowed down very much to a particular variant, a particular strain. But he doesn't understand why which just again shows his naivete, doesn't understand why the vaccine companies didn't put in for covering all these other strains, possible strains, because of the way they built the vaccine. And, that way they can sell more vaccines. You see, that's how that works, John. I don't know if you understand. They're not in this to be a humanitarian effort. They're in this to increase their profits by 100 times. It's all about profits for them. They're not doing this for free. They're not even doing it for break even. It's far, far more wide reaching than that. They're making money. So, I digress. It's been a little bit longer of a show than I thought it would be. And so I'm going to try to level things out here a little bit. And I hear my backtrack music, my backing music, my bumper music is coming in now to boot me out of here. So I will try to do my best to have another show tomorrow. Actually, I'm going to try to do a live show tomorrow. I think the place where I'm going to be tomorrow actually has better internet and it might actually work. So I'm going to try to post this today. I've got to get it on my iCloud account at least at some point, and then maybe I can possibly get it uploaded to the platforms later on today. I don't think it's going to happen by the time I leave here from Lexington, because it's just I don't see the internet here working properly unless I happen to be able to do it from the airport. Possibly I might try that. Once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing the podcast with others. And I do want to thank you all for the year to come. Just as I move forward and try to expand the platform a little bit, do some more live video podcasts on Rumble. The Rumble channel, if you want to go there and subscribe or watch any past shows, it's The News According to Me, all one word. And at Rumble, so that's where it's at. It's my channel there. You know, you can find that and put that there. Once again, folks, thanks for being with me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with the old man for a few minutes here this morning. And hope you have a great day. Keep praying for the nation. Pray for each other. God bless everybody.